Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The wheels of justice are moving in a very different way for accused celebrity Bill Cosby. While it has no judicial significance, President Obama last week seemed to conclude that the actions alleged by Cosby and accusations from numerous women over decades amounts to rape.
If you give a woman, or a man for that matter, without his or her knowledge, a drug, and then have sex with that person without consent, that's rape. And I think this country, any civilized country, should have no tolerance for rape.
The detail of drugging women to have sex with them is just one item from a 10-year-old deposition obtained by the New York Times, where Cosby was confronted in a legal case by Andrea Constant, who, as an aspiring teenage model, claimed that Cosby sexually abused her. That case was eventually settled. But the deposition shows in chilling clarity Cosby's attitude about behaviors that, now made public, have utterly destroyed his reputation as an entertainer and may yet land him in court. Graham Boley, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, says Cosby conveys over and over again in the deposition that he believes he's the good guy in these encounters.
I mean, in this deposition, it's 4 days. It's 1,000 pages. And it takes you right in the room with Bill Cosby. And he's often funny. He quarrels with the lawyers. But he's boastful. He's unapologetic. There's this sense that he's untouchable. And he talks about these encounters, yeah, and it's part of his life that he knows women, he understands them, and he's good for them.
Good for them in the sense that he is benefiting these women.
Yeah, I mean, he's mentoring them. He becomes the mentor of one. A very young girl, many years younger than him, comes to his apartment, his house in New York. She's seeking help as she's moved to New York to become a model, and you know he's going to help her. It also ends that relationship a few years later, it seems, ends with a sex act. But he's helping them in their careers, but he's also helping them sexually. You know, he describes they have a glow. They have a glow afterwards.
Afterwards, right. Does he explicitly deny that he's a rapist?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the key takeaways from these documents. He unswervingly denies non-consensual drugging or sex. He discusses drugs. They took them because it was the party world of the 70s. He gave them drugs and they wanted them. They have sex. They wanted to have sex. He's very clear about that. So 4 days, never moves away from that denial. But even as he does that, we see another side. He freely offers another side of Bill Cosby we didn't know, I think.
And do you think, and again, we're just speculating here, and you guys from the Times don't want to speculate, I know that, but he understood that he could buy his way out of this when this case was eventually settled. Do you think he understood that?
I don't want to speculate.
Right, of course not.
This unassailable sense that he gives off. He's joking. He cracks funny jokes. At one point, the very serious lawyer for
the plaintiff,
opening of the deposition, sort of describes the things he has to do, and she says, "Please no hand, speak clearly. Please no gestures." Then there's a pause, and then she says, "Very funny. Everybody does that because he's obviously gesturing."
Any hints of his lifestyle and his fame as being something that grants him a certain kind of power and privilege?
Yeah. I mean, we see lots of instances of this life. He has many house staff. He has a pilot. He has a chef. He invites the accuser in the 2005 lawsuit to his house in Pennsylvania. She eats alone when she comes the first time when he's alone, first time with lots of guests. First time she comes alone, the chef cooks this meal for her, and Bill Cosby doesn't eat with her. It's pretty odd, I felt. She travels, he flies in his jet to Foxland's Casino to see him perform. Way back in 76, where he describes another encounter with a woman he met in the Las Vegas Hilton, meets her in the gift shop, she says. He says, invited her to the show, came backstage straight afterwards, gave her quaaludes, and they had sex. So he doesn't explicitly say that this gives him, this power over women, but it's certainly part of the way he's living his life.
You get a sense of the dazzling array of options that he's, parceling out.
Yeah, I mean, he lives a very rich celebrity life. He, after Andrea Constant brings starts complaining. He spends a lot of time in the deposition talking about his conversation with her mother, and at that point he's very concerned. At that point, he's saying she's worried that I'm a dirty old man. I'm trying to talk to her. And he's thinking in his head, Andrea, who's also on the line, please tell her how good it was for us, how we talked, how you enjoyed what we did. Right. And then he says he wants to bring them to Florida to talk about further things. So fly them to Florida and we'll talk about she wants to go, maybe he'll pay for an educational trust for her or some sort of educational support. And it never comes to that, I don't think.
Right, because this case was settled. Any sense that these women were damaged, that Constant was damaged,
yeah.
that he had bears some responsibility there?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of switches off. He knows that. Actually, because he's sort of describing this concern for her. And then she's in the room, it turns out. We kind of work out from the deposition at one point. She speaks and we're like, she's in the room. That's incredible. And it seems that he was in the room earlier in the morning when she was giving the testimony. We didn't get that. He's asked, like, how does it feel? Because she was crying. She was describing this. She was in tears. How did you feel? And he just kind of goes very cold. He goes, she's a liar. She's a liar. She's a liar. I know the truth. I was there. So he sort of switches off. He has no kind of cognizance there that it was a damage. And also when he's talking about the very young woman, sort of seven, there's an argument about how old she is. She's 17 or is she 19? When he seems to meet her with her parents in New York, she's written him a poem. He discusses this completely as if there's nothing wrong with this, and you know that ends on the sofa with lotion, as we describe in the story.
New York Times reporter Graham Boley on the Cosby deposition from 2005 and 2006. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
What do you think of the Cosby revelations? Fred writes on Facebook, Bill Cosby has been synonymous with wholesomeness since my childhood. At 40, it's still shocking when you discover your boyhood idols are not only flawed, but evil.
Evelyn Clay, Jackson, Mississippi. I'm not sure my opinion has changed at all. It's sad, but true. When any human is given the adulation and power that was given to Bill Cosby, it's a recipe for disaster. He's a human being who's made terrible decisions because he thought his money and power made him immune from the norms of our society. Then he probably began to feel that he deserved special treatment. It's a vicious cycle.
We'd love to know what you think. Weigh in at facebook.com/thetakeaway.